Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6 is our scripture for study today. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Paul is nearing the close of this letter, and he has written about some very urgent matters in this epistle. In chapter 1, he stressed that Christ is the head of the church. In chapter 2, he showed the danger of false teaching that was threatening this church. Beginning in chapter 3 and going through chapter 4, verse 1, he talked about the new life in Christ. And he has just ended a section where he gave specific instructions to families and to households. Now, beginning in chapter 4, verse 2, he gives some exhortations for Christians in general. So let's begin in verses 2 through 4, where Paul says to pray. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now notice three things in verse 2. He says, continue in prayer. Christians need to be reminded to pray always. Too often, we wait till we're in trouble or when some kind of calamity happens, and then we pray. But we need to always pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, pray without ceasing. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, to this end spake he a parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here we find that Paul says, continue in prayer, and then notice that he says, and watch. To watch means to be on guard. It means to have your eyes open. It means to be alert to danger or to opportunities. You see, the word watch or watchings in the Bible is the opposite of being asleep. Remember that Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's Matthew 26, verse 41. So it's very similar to us saying today, keep your eyes open. We're not talking about the physical eyes. We're saying pay attention. Be alert. Sometimes people are not paying attention. Sometimes Christians are asleep instead of watching. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. But notice also in verse 3, the third thing that he says to do is to be thankful. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, he already said in chapter 3, verse 15, and be you also thankful. He said quite a bit in this book about being thankful. So in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4, you have so much that is said in this very short verse. And he ends it by saying, remember to be thankful. So while we do our best to be vigilant, at the same time, we need to remember to be calm and to have a sense of gratitude. And just being thankful will change and mold your life in many ways that you might not realize. Now let's notice in verses 3 and 4 something specific that Paul says to pray about and pray for. He says in verse 3, with all praying also for us. What is it that Paul wants them to pray about? He says, I want you to pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So Paul says that he had prayed for them. He says that in the opening words of this book, in chapter 1, verse 3, he said that he was always praying for them. Now Paul says, I want to ask you to pray for me and the people that are with me. And he'll mention who those people are later in this chapter. And what is it that Paul says that he wants these brethren to pray for and about? He says, pray that God will open a door of utterance to us to speak the mystery of Christ. Sometimes the door is open to teach people. Sometimes it's not. And the door that he's talking about here is the door of opportunity. The Bible oftentimes uses this figure of an open door to teach the gospel. In Acts 14, verse 27, Paul and Barnabas gathered the church together at Antioch, and the Bible says that they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now, what does Paul say to do here? He says to pray that God will open to us a door to speak the gospel. Now, how God does this in unseen ways is a mystery to us. And this is where faith comes in, as we pray. This means that evangelism is not simply a matter of our having our plans and our methods. It's a matter also of God's providence and our prayers. And this does show that God somehow intervenes in non-miraculous ways in this life. And to deny that God acts in that way in this world today would be to set aside this entire passage of Scripture that we're looking at. Then Paul continues in verse 5 with another set of exhortations. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Now, the people who are without here are not people who are without the necessities of life. The word without here means outside. He's talking about those who are outside the body of Christ, those who are outside the church, in other words, non-Christians. So Paul says, walk in wisdom toward people who are not members of the church. What does this mean? What does this involve? What are some ways in which we ought to use wisdom in dealing with non-Christians? Well, here are a few suggestions. In the first place, sometimes Christians need to beware of danger and dangerous people. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 16 to his disciples, as he sent them out on the limited commission, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's Matthew 10, verse 16. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26, Paul said that one of the dangers that he faced was dangers or perils among robbers. So Paul had to watch himself. Paul had to be careful. Be wise. Number two, don't waste time arguing with mean, hardened people. Jesus said, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast ye your pearl before swine. That simply means when you have people that are so hardened and so calloused that they're not going to do anything but abuse you and abuse the gospel of Christ, he said, don't waste your time with those people. Sometimes we need to apply those verses and use some wisdom in dealing with people who are not Christians. Number three, don't unnecessarily offend people's customs if you can help it at all. Paul said that that's what he did. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 22, Paul said, but though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And so he went on to explain what he was talking about there. And he's referring to matters of tradition, matters of custom, matters of conscience, where the Bible doesn't say that you have to do it this way or have to do it that way. Paul says that we ought to be willing to bend and we ought to be willing to give in those situations and yield to customs. Now, again, we're not talking about things that the Bible shows are wrong. We're not talking about fellowshipping or condoning something that is wrong. We're simply talking about being careful that we don't unnecessarily cause people to stumble. Number four, remember the power of example, not just your words. Be wise about that. And realize in a true sense that sometimes less is more. Remember that Peter told Christian wives who were married to non-Christian husbands that sometimes it's better to let your example lead that husband to Christ than trying to use so many words to convert him. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. That's using wisdom toward those that are without. Number 5, avoid silly questions. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, to avoid unlearned and foolish questions because they just engender strife. We have far more important issues to teach the world than to get bogged down and to waste time dealing with silly questions about religion. Number 6, realize that your approach should depend on the frame of mind and the attitude of the person or the people that you're talking to. In Jude verses 22 and 23, the Bible says that you show compassion towards some people, but with others, you save with fear and you use a more aggressive or assertive approach. So walk in wisdom. These are just a few examples of using good judgment as we deal with people that are not Christians. But then he says in the last part of the verse, to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That means to cash it in, to use it wisely, to buy it up. That means don't waste time. Take advantage of it. Use it wisely because you have so very little of it. In James 4, verse 14, the Bible says that your life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So our prayer ought to be, like Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In verse 6, we have a great exhortation and reminder to Christian people about the way that we talk. Look very carefully at verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt. Paul says, use some seasoning. Now, I realize that the word salt is sometimes used to refer to the preserving aspect of salt, but here it's used in the sense of flavoring. So he's talking about using salt here because it is pleasing to the taste. And just as we use salt to add some flavor to food, he says, use a little grace, and that means kindness and sweetness to your words, so that they'll be much easier to listen to and more pleasant to the ears. There are many times when we need to sprinkle a little grace on our words. For instance, when you're impatient and you're tempted to snap at somebody, use a little salt of kindness on your words instead. When you feel like getting defensive and answering roughly, sprinkle a little salt to take off the sharpness of your tone. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. When you're tired of hearing the way that a person talks and goes on, and you're tempted to be harsh, use kindness instead. Remember, Colossians 3, verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. When you have to correct somebody, especially somebody who didn't mean to do wrong, use a little salt in your approach. Don't be overbearing. When you're teaching someone the truth, speak with grace, not with arrogance. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says it this way, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And when you have to sit down and work out a difference with someone, using a little salt of grace will go a long way toward getting your point across.